I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a jumbo edition of Live, Laugh, Leafs. It's not often that we get to do a whole entire show dedicated to one signing, but this is Joe Thornton, so it definitely deserves that. Wouldn't you agree, Mike?
Absolutely. This is probably the one signing out of anyone that we can spend. It's a one-year, you know, league minimum deal, but this is the one signing out of the entire offseason that I'm most excited to talk about. I'm sitting here in shock right now. It's crazy.
It's definitely the one that like brings upon the most emotion, or at least, you know, piques the interest of the fan base the most, because we don't really know what we're getting in Joe Thornton. I mean, obviously he's coming over on a one-year deal worth $700,000 minimum. It's, you know, under that variable threshold, but it cannot be buried because he's an over 35 player. He's 6 years over that threshold. So he's obviously not a spring chicken. He joins a team where, you know, it's almost exclusively young guys, even though they've done a pretty good job of adding some veteran talent this offseason, which was definitely a focus, and Jumbo was a key part of that. So I'm not sure really where to start. I guess just the initial reaction that you had and how that emotion has evolved since then.
Well, to put this into perspective, I was 1 year old during Joe Thornton's rookie season. So that's pretty insane. The 97-98 season. I don't think I was able to walk at that point. I don't know what the linear progression of babies being able to walk. But that's
I'm pretty sure you couldn't walk.
Yeah. Right. Babies don't walk at 1 year. Right. Or like that's not a thing. I was crawling around still.
You're not only showing your age, like by not understanding how babies function, but the fact that you're 1 year old when Joe Thornton came into the league, I guess, you know, is a strong indicator of that.
Exactly. Like this was wild. It had been reported on the Steve Dangle podcast. We want to give them credit for that because Chris Johnson dropped that little nugget kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah. We've been reminded to give them credit, have we not?
Exactly. So I was reminded by Steve himself the other day before doing this to give him credit. So I'm going to do that now. And this, as much as it kind of came out of nowhere, it was still, I think the signing itself came out of nowhere. Like, it had been rumored for a while. It was essentially down to San Jose and Toronto between the two teams. And it was kind of, you know, Myrtle had written a piece about it and they talked about it on the SDP. And now it started to get momentum. And it was kind of, oh, you know, the ball's in his court. And then Elliot Friedman tweets, you know, looks like things are heating up, you know, stay tuned or we'll see. And then like 3 minutes later, it was, we got a jumbo announcement. I don't understand how anyone can be opposed to the signing. It just seems, and maybe you will, as a contrarian, you know, as the prototype.
I mean, I think there's a pretty clear way how it could, you know,
But it's 700.
We'll get into it.
I was expecting this to be, you know, 1 year, 1 mil, or 1 year, you know, 1.2 or something, like, because it's Joe Thornton, right? But he came here 1 year, like league min for sure. And no, performance bonuses either. So that there's nothing, it really helps the cap situation because there's nothing that could get in the way. Like he will cost $700,000 no matter what this year. Yes, the over 35 contract it means it's not variable, but are you telling me that even if Joe Thornton looks washed, 1 year, 700 grand, you can't trade him to someone for a conditional seventh or something? Like, it costs you no assets to bring in. He kind of fits everything that you need. He's a great guy in the locker room, obviously. He's just a fitness freak dedicated to that. He's come over a lot of adversity and it seems like he really wants to be here. Like he, I wasn't on the Zoom call today, but you were. And he said, you know, he chose the Leafs because he wants to win a cup. This is not, you know, he chose the Leafs because he wants to come home. This is not, he chose the Leafs because he wants to be close to his parents or because, you know, he wants to be close to, I don't know, to his childhood home, or he wants to be close to the city. It was, he came here because he wants to win a Stanley Cup, and the time is running out for him. Like, he's 41, like we said. And so he clearly thinks that the time is now. And for him to view the Leafs like that, I think that says a lot. Like that really speaks to, you know, the perception of this team by a marquee free agent like that, despite his age. I think there is pretty much all there. There are very, very, very few cons in this signing. And I know, I'm sure you're going to pick through them, but I think this is a home run for the Leafs.
Yeah. I mean, $700,000 is huge. I think you're right. I think one of the big, I think what I was most concerned about when they were discussing this is, okay, he's going to take up $1 million. And that's $1 million you could definitely spend probably better elsewhere. Although there's not that many free agents out there anymore. I think there's still some utility on the market that you could find a better way to spend $1 million. I mean, they're right up against the cap. They got two guys they still need to sign. Whether $1 million makes it so they have to trade a guy, and that's an unforced error, I don't really know. But $700,000, you cannot really get too upset about it. But I think the way in which it doesn't work out for the Maple Leafs is that he just simply can't play anymore. And then this isn't this great story anymore. And it's almost kind of sad because this 41-year-old man has come over, wants to play and win a Stanley Cup with the Leafs and can't get into the lineup because he's simply not good enough anymore and he's being exposed and he hasn't played. I know he's playing in Davos right now, but there's a long, you know, layoff between games of NHL quality. I think there is that, you know, possibility that he just can't help this team. And if he can't help this team, then the signing was probably not worth it. But I don't know if I necessarily feel that way. I think he will be able to help in a certain respect. I'm not sure exactly where he fills in the lineup. But what I think has to happen is that he can't really be married to one position. Obviously, they got Jason Spezza in the four hole. I don't think I'm very confident in him playing third line center and moving Kerfoot around. So I think he's probably going to have to play on the wing. And I think there's some possibilities for him there. I'm intrigued by the idea of him maybe playing with John Tavares at times. I think that could be interesting.
That's hilarious. I love that.
But I just, you know, we came into this offseason hearing but two clear mandates from Kyle Dubas, which is to improve the defense and to become a tougher team to play against. Jumbo is about the easiest player to play against, is he not? I mean, he's supremely skilled and he can pass, you know, he can pass the puck in the offensive zone and turn defenders into turnstiles with that. But this isn't a player that was overly dominant in any respect last season, hasn't been for the past few seasons. And that bottom six that was supposed to have these new dynamics is literally, it seems as though they brought in a clear dynamic in which they've already had, which is, some aging skill, which they had in Jason Spezza. So there's a bit of a redundancy, I feel like, there. But if he can move around the lineup, not be married to the center position, play left wing and find utility somewhere in the lineup with, you know, being in tandem with another center or another winger, be it Wayne Simmonds. Yeah, I think you can find something there. But I just don't think it changes the team. And the Leafs wanted to change their team a little bit. So that's why it's a bit confusing.
I love you, man, but I'm going to fully disagree with that. First of all, he's not the guy you're talking about when you want the team to get harder to play against. The Leafs already addressed that. Like TJ Brodie.
They address it.
TJ Brodie's
not a hard player, but he's just a good defenseman. He's just a good defenseman.
Yeah, and that's hard. You know what's hard to play against? A good defenseman. A good defenseman who's defensively responsible and offensively responsible. That's pretty annoying.
Okay, but they said
Simmonds.
But the definition, I think, of, okay, how are you going to be harder to play against? I think they're just doubling down on what they are. And that's fine, I guess.
How? The biggest thing that people have now criticized the Leafs for, because everyone has to criticize the Leafs in some respect, is that that Dubas has completely done a 180 and has tried to capture great.
Well, he clearly hasn't. He said he was doing a 180 in some respects. And I think we took that as, oh, he's going to add all these tough guys to the lineup. But he hasn't. He hasn't really changed the way. He kept saying that we need to become a tougher team to play against. I think the definition of that, everyone took it one way when really he just wants to be, he wants to bring more of the same, which is fine. But I don't think it changes the dynamic, which has failed for them in the last season. I think they needed some more looks from their bottom six, some different guys. I think more of the Wayne Simmonds mold. And I think Joe Thornton is just kind of the same player that does a lot of what Jason Spezza does now and a lot of what John Tavares, you know, at his prime, maybe John Tavares in 8 years looks like Joe Thornton right now. Like it's not, he isn't a different player. And I think that line that he played on last year with Marcus Sorensen and Kevin LeBanc, they were an easy line to play against. And if you wanted to become hard to play against, I don't think Joe Thornton makes you a harder team to play against.
Well, they added Zach Bogosian and Wayne Simmonds, who are two, you know, fully stocked beefcakes, if you will, on, you know, at both aspects of the lineup. And you have Jake Muzzin as well there. Like a D-core with TJ Brody, Jake Muzzin, Zach Bogosian, and then a forward core adding Wayne Simmonds to the fold. I think they're not going to become a grit monster overnight, but no teams are. I think that they added players that are tough to play against, and from different aspects. Like, yes, you want to have guys out there who can, you know, who can pass like Joe Thornton, who can drive play like Joe Thornton. Like, if you look at his production, I'm looking at that right now. Like, yeah, last year was kind of an anomaly because the Sharks were terrible. Their entire team was banged up. They had terrible shooting luck, and their goaltending was awful. It was a terrible situation. But if you look at any of, let's take Austin Matthews' time in the league, for example. Let's talk about the Matthews era, because that's, I would say, recent. Joe Thornton has scored at a consistent 50-point pace, sometimes above that, aside from last year. 51 points in 73 games in 18-19, 36 and 47 in 17-18, 50 and 79 in 16-17. He can still do that. And even last year, he played roughly the same that he did the year before. And essentially he just had terrible PDO. He had way worse luck. This is a player who can still play. And when you think about it, like we talked about Wayne, this is also a guy who's been injury riddled before, but he's still playing at a decent clip. Maybe not obviously at the height of his powers, but this is not a washed player. And now he has 9 months off. And I think the fact that he's playing in Davos and is able to still kind of keep that momentum while not really tax himself too much is probably the perfect scenario. It gives him exactly kind of what he needs, what the body needs to keep itself going and in that shape without overtaxing itself. And as well, if you look at his fit, like you say, he wants to play on the wing and everything and move around. His faceoff percentages, I would say, yeah, we're now entering the era of more maybe positionless hockey in the sense that maybe Thornton, yeah, he can play the wing in a conventional sense, you know, as in the middle of the play. But this is a guy who wins consistently, you know. This is a guy who's an average 54% in the faceoff circle in his career. So I would say at least lining up, I trust him more in the dot than maybe Kerfoot would. But it gives you options. And this is the thing that we were talking about on the last podcast when we were breaking down the Leafs free agency, is the Leafs just needed options. And I mocked up some forward lines here. And especially in their bottom six, because keep in mind, they got nothing from the bottom six last year. It was all the big guys and pretty much no secondary scoring. And so now the lines, adding Thornton into the mix, it's Matthews, Nylander, Hyman, you maybe say. Tavares, Marner, Mikheyev, assuming that Mikheyev signs, which you will. And if even as well, just as a tangent, to look at the cap space, the Leafs have 1.469800 as, 1,469,800, yeah, $800 in cap space. That's how numbers work. And if you really, like, this is not going to happen, but Dubas did say today they don't really foresee moving anyone out right now. They can run with you know, a 20-man roster. And if Mikheyev and Dermott, like, I can't really advocate for Dermott getting more than league men, and Mikheyev's going to have a tough arb case as well. If they both sign for league men, the Leafs would be cap compliant right now. And it probably won't
They're both not going to sign for league men.
Yeah, but
they're going to have to cut. Like, they can't carry all every.
Yeah, but they're going to bury some guys. And this is also a roster with guys like, you know, Rasmus Sandin still, you know, on the NHL roster. And you know, and Travis Boyd factored into the NHL roster too on cap friendly. So if you bring those guys down, it kind of makes it out and you can bury them. That makes it easier. You can bury them. And then, you know, Engvall is kind of there as well. But if you look at the lines, yeah, so the top four is pretty much set from the end of last year, you know, Matthews, Nylander, Hyman, Tavares, Mikheyev, Marner. And then you get to the third line, and it's what, Thornton, Kerfoot, Simmonds, maybe? And then that's an interesting line. It gives you kind of one of everything. It gives you a good kind of skill guy in Kerfoot, energy guy in Kerfoot, a playmaker in Thornton, and a bruiser in Simmonds who can be a net front presence. And then you get to the fourth line, and the options, it gives you a cavalcade of options. It's Spezza, Engvall, and then it could be VC, Barabanov, Korshkov, Patan, Anderson, Agostino, Robertson, and that's just and that's just going through those names. This is a tight roster, and they're going to be guys who are going to be playing their balls off, really, to be able to make it. I think that just doing that, making actual competition in camp, opposed to when things were relatively set the year before, they might get some things out of their bottom six. And people forget they have guys like Adam Brooks, and you know, even Cali Casilla and Dennis Malgin, they just re-signed, you know, like they have so many of these names to fit for essentially what is one spot on the fourth line in training camp. I like it. It gives you a plethora of options to kind of plug and play if things work, if things don't work, which they didn't really have. Like they now have these bodies, and Thornton really kind of allows them to stretch that roster. They now have these bodies that if someone gets injured, they can really plug in someone who's of relatively similar impact and get a similar result. I'm a big fan of this. I think from the dollars, the term, and the fact that just what he brings both on the ice as you know, as he did even if he can replicate his production from last year, 31 points. How many of the Leafs' bottom six guys had 31 points last year? Very few. If he can even replicate that, which I think he might even produce better considering, you know, the power play time and maybe some spot looks in the top six, this is a slam dunk signing. I can't think of any other way to put it.
So you think they're a deeper team up front than they were last year?
Absolutely. And I know that what you're thinking, because they've shipped out, you know, Kasperi Kapanen and Andreas Johnsson, and you think that right there subtracting those guys, but those guys were name brand. Those guys were name only. How much did they really contribute to this team? They both had terrible years. One of them was injured the entire time. Kapanen would go on 20 game goalless streaks and do the exact same thing. This gives them more versatile options. Yes, it takes a name brand away, but like I said, I would bet that Wayne Simmonds outscores Kapanen from last year. Kapanen had 13 goals last year. I bet Simmonds surpasses that. They were able to get rid of two guys who are making a combined, what was it, almost $7 million together, really. And they've added like what, five or six guys now who can make less than that, essentially. And two of them are Joe Thornton and Wayne Simmonds. I really like
that. Yeah, name brands.
Yes, but name brands who fit their needs better than those guys did, and they were able to milk them for maximum value. Maybe not Johnsson specifically, but Kapanen.
Yeah, the value is certainly better. I mean, I agree completely with Simmonds, because I think he actually, I mean, he's 9 years younger than Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
He's certainly going to be a more of an impact player. He's obviously making more than him, but he's making a good amount of money. You know what? It might not be wrong that they're a little bit of a deeper team. I think they've certainly added capable bodies coming in with Simmonds and Thornton, and they've gotten guys like Joey Anderson in return, who I think can play, mm-hmm. and Alexander Barabanov's coming in, obviously.
And he's probably going to play too.
And I think, exactly. And I think the competition is good there. Like, I think it's going to squeeze a guy like Pierre Engvall out of the lineup, which I think is definitely a good thing. But I just think, you know, what were we daylighting and waxing on about Barclay Goodrow and Joey Anderson, so exciting because, oh, like Blake yeah. Coleman. He might be a little bit like Blake Coleman. Like, I think this team missing that. I mean, I think I'm just looking at their lineup and who Joe Thornton can line up against. It just screams that same Kevin LeBanc, Marcus Sorensen combination. Like, he's not going to be a part of a line that's going to give you anything but sort of wash minutes, I think. Like, I cannot see them being a dominant unit in any respect. And you can dominate in other means. You can dominate from the offensive standpoint. You can dominate through forecheck. You can even be a fourth line with the Vegas Golden Knights, who dominates and is just with the – I wouldn't say dominate, but can have an impact based on their ability to forecheck and just bang around. I think what I got from Kyle Dubas at the beginning of the offseason was that he wanted to bring in new dimensions. And as I mentioned before, it seems like Joe Thornton is just like the next guy you would have in the depth chart to fill in what they already have, which is Tavares going down to Jason Spezza, going down to Joe Thornton. So that's the only reason why, you know, like, it's hard. That's the reason why I was reluctant at about $1 million for 700,000. You really can't miss. There's going to be injuries. He can fill in basically mm-hmm. anywhere, which I think is important. But I just don't think their whole entire process has addressed clear needs. Not even a clear need, just the clear void of certain things in your lineup. Like, this isn't going to be a forecheck heavy team. Like, as much as Kasperi Kapanen and Andreas Johnsson, you believe are guys that, you know, ran out of their ability to help this team, they are guys that can be a pain in the ass. Andreas Johnsson is a small, mostly offensive guy, but he's kind of a pain to play against sometimes. Kasperi Kapanen can be the same as well. And I just don't know if the guys that they've brought in are going to have much more than a replacement level contribution. That's what I'm worried about right now. I think they've definitely improved their team because they've improved on defense mm-hmm. first, and I don't think they've lost anything huge on in terms of their forwards, and I think Wayne Simmonds will fill in for one of those guys immediately. But can they fill in the other way? Can they find ways to, you know, find winning combinations. Maybe they're twosomes that just work in the bottom of their lineup. I just need to see it all work. What's going to be really exciting is actually seeing their line combinations whenever training camp first starts. Like, what are they thinking? I want to be in their heads. I want to know how this is all going to shake
gonna
down
have
because
fun,
I,
man.
What's that?
Heath's going to have some fun getting out the blender.
He is, because I'm trying to look at it right now and I can't envision exactly what they're thinking. Like, is Kerfoot, do they have Kerfoot earmarked for the left side in the top six? And that would bring Mikheyev down to play with Thornton through the middle. Like, I just don't know how all the pieces are
that
coming into play.
That would be a great combination.
Is Nick Robertson going to play? I think Mikheyev could be a guy that certainly helps Thornton, because I think they have sort of compatible skills at this point.
Compatible.
Like, I think I don't think, like, Mikheyev will be a guy who can do some of the things Thornton will be unable to do in terms of, like, getting into the zone quickly, establishing possession, giving it back to Thornton. And I think there would have to be a shooter on that line as well. Like, I don't know if you're being sarcastic with Mikheyev, but he's certainly not, you know, a plus finisher by any means. But I just feel like
a presence around the net, like to bang in garbage goals, I think he's perfect, because Mikheyev's not going to be a facilitator, but Thornton is definitely a facilitator. And you have a guy like Mikheyev who can stretch the ice with straightaway speed and then also, you know, be a positive net front presence. I think that really does work with Thornton's skills.
I think you can go get the puck for him, which would be good. And I think maybe Wayne Simmonds would fill that other side maybe pretty well as well. And that could be an interesting combination. See, as we talk about it more, I can kind of visualize it more, but I'm not sure where all these pieces go. I mean, he talked, Kyle Dubas spoke today, obviously you mentioned, and he mentioned VC. VC's definitely going to play. Joe's obviously definitely going to play in Simmonds. So it makes me feel like Nick Robertson might be on the outside a little bit right now at this point. I think Alexander Kerfoot, though, is a key factor in all this. Where is he going to play? What's his position next season? I think that's one of the maybe the first dominoes before we can really tell how this is all going to work. But those clamoring for the Leafs to be like the teams that were the last left in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Lightning with that third line, Dallas with what they can do, the fourth line of the Vegas Golden Knights, I just don't feel like they have that real energy line in that bottom six yet. And I think that's what it seemed like they were aspiring to do. And I just don't know if they accomplished that.
I definitely think they accomplished that. If you look at the construction of the Dallas Stars, I mean, who did they have? They had guys like Perry, they had guys like Pavelski who were providing, you know, these great sort of like punches down their lineup. Simmonds had a better year than Perry did in the regular season last year. Joe Thornton's a proven contributor. Like, he's been there. And when you look at, like, if you look at it in a vacuum, just pure upgrades on the positions last year. So let's say, you know, maybe Kerfoot slides in that 3C and you put Thornton as 4C and then Spezza and then whoever. Frédéric Gauthier played 61 games last year as the fourth line, on the fourth line, whether it was the center or the wing. I think I would much rather have Joe Thornton or Jason Spezza, Frédéric Gauthier. And he already played that. If you look at the back end, they were one injury away from putting Martin Marincin in big minutes in an elimination game. Now they have a clear log jam on their blue line with decent contributors. Like, Mikko Lehtonen is the KHL defensive.
Again, I don't think there's anything wrong with what they did in the blue line. The more and more I think about the blue line, the more confident I am in it, especially with them saying today that Hall and Dermott are probably not going to be moved, which means there's going to be an immense amount of competition on that back end.
But even if you look up front, like, I listed all the guys who are vying for these bottom six roles. They just didn't have this ability to slot in anyone on the back or on the bottom six last year. They were relatively thin when they came to depth. Like, they were playing, you know, Nick Patan got into a few games and stuff like that. But a Thornton Kerfoot Simmonds line, even if you want to just look at that in a vacuum, I think that's great. I think that's a tough line to play against in the sense that Simmonds makes things tough. Kerfoot is an energy guy who I think is also going to have a big bounce back here because, you know, people forget he broke his friggin' face early on in the season last year and lost a significant amount of weight trying to recover from that and didn't really ever build it back up. Now he's had a long layoff and I think he can come back and be pretty productive. And Simmonds is also going to, like, yes, a lot of it is banking on these guys taking advantage of the pause and the off season and rebounding from health stuff. But I'd much rather have a combination of like VC, Barabanov, Simmonds, Thornton, you know, all of that, all of Joey Anderson, Nick Robertson, all of those guys together making, you know, roughly around 6.5 than just Kapanen and Janssen together
that,
making
that is fine and that's fair, but all six of those guys that you mentioned are really complete unknowns in what they're going to provide, mm-hmm. maybe with the exception of Simmons.
But we knew
we have no idea what Barabanov's going to do. Yeah. We don't really know what Joe Thornton has left. We don't know if Joey Anderson's able to step in and actually be a, you know, plus NHL contributor next season. Like, there's a lot of unknowns here. I have no idea what Jimmy Vesey is going to provide. He didn't look like anything in Buffalo to me.
I didn't watch
many Buffalo games.
Look what happened to Bogosian when he left immediately when he left Buffalo.
That's true, but like I just didn't see anything from him that made me think, well, he's going to have a huge impact with the Leafs. I don't know yet. I think there's a lot of unknowns here, and what is good is there's a lot of unknowns, but there's a surplus of it. So yes. These guys can scrap and claw, and a winning combination could emerge, but I just don't know how it's all going to fit, and that's why I'm a little bit reluctant to be, you know, to leap or heap praise on them, because I just don't know exactly how it's going to work on the forward front. Pretty confident what's happening on the back end though.
And I also think when we factor in the overall performance of the team, having a full season of the Campbell-Anderson tandem, I think is really going to help, because Anderson was bad last year. He was just definitively bad, and he hurt his team a lot during down the stretch. No matter what you say about their defense, his raw statistics, goals saved above average, everything like that was down. And now you have, and Thornton mentioned Anderson by name as like the first guy in why he was excited to join this team. This could be, if you get this goaltending, it all kind of falls into place. And you knew what Kapanen and Janssen were going to give you. It was too predictable in that sense. And you knew exactly the production they were going to give, and it wasn't going to be equivalent to the dollars they were being paid. And I'd much rather have a more versatile lineup with a plethora of guys who are essentially flyers. Like, you know, Simmons is, who knows what, if he's going to bounce back. Thornton, if he has, like, he says he still has stuff in the tank, and I believe him. And I think the layoff plus the training in Davos is really going to do him some good. He's also in a happy place as well, which really impacts him. Last year was not a happy place in San Jose. Everyone was getting traded. It was a bad year. And I'd much rather have, you know, six or seven guys who could potentially be, you know, who could be hits than these two guys who were overpaid for their positions, who were kind of clogging the roster, and who we knew were going to top out as essentially 30 to 40 point guys, where it just wasn't equivalent to what their value was. Kapanen just, he didn't have a place on this team anymore, and neither did Janssen. And for them to be able to address these needs that they had by getting Simmons and Thornton and all these other guys, and essentially just saying, you know, it's like the scene in The Dark Knight when, you know, there's only one spot here, so we're going to have tryouts, and snapping the pool cue in half and being essentially fight to the death to get this spot. I think that really adds a healthy amount of competition to a roster that essentially needed it last year. We talked all the time about how they were too comfortable, about how essentially everything was given to them. Nothing is given to these guys now. They all have to earn their spots, and people are going to be clamoring. You know, in baseball, when people are hitting, it says it's a fight. When a team is on a hitting heater, they say it's a fight at the bat rack. Everyone's going to be fighting at the bat rack to get on some sort of power play unit, because the first unit has Matthews and Tavares and Marner and guys on. And the second unit has got a guy like friggin' Joe Thornton. So I think that they addressed pretty much all of their needs pretty, you know, acutely. Like they obviously didn't go out and double down on, they didn't get all the perfect players like Milan Lucic in his prime, which would have been the perfect guy to slot into this roster. But I think they did a really good job at cost, at giving these guys sort of league minimum deals to come home, to play here, to fight for a roster spot, and to essentially be able to impact this team. I think they did a really good job. I think this is a much better team than it was last year. It's way more balanced. It's got a different makeup intangibly and in its actual construction as a roster. I think that this is a more tested team that clearly likes to be playing together, where there's no real kind of clashes in skill here and clashes in attitude even. I really like it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, the attitude is a big piece. Kyle Dubas said that as much as Joe Thornton's on-ice abilities, what's really valued is what he brings off the ice as well. So I think this is – it's not a small thing here. I think there is some concerns inside the organization – maybe not concerns, but just a feeling that they need to surround – like this might be the Thornton move. It's a one-year deal worth $700,000, but this could be a long-term move. This could be – like we talked about the value of Patrick Marleau and how he was worth it for the Maple Leafs to get that third year because of what he did for those young guys. I think it's not even, hey, you know, he's going to put his arm around some players and have conversations with them. They're just going to see a 41-year-old man who looks older than 41, who has this gray beard and messy gray hair and, you know, isn't the peak of, you know, physicality anymore in terms of his body, and he's just a guy who's a bit broken down, who's 20 years removed from him being a rookie, 24 years from being a rookie, 10 years removed from being in his prime, that just loves the game, that hasn't taken anything for granted or isn't taking anything for granted at this point in his career, does not have the Stanley Cup and still more than anything wants to win it. It is the same in that respect as Jason Spezza, who just wants to win so bad. And I think that's a good thing to show a team that's built around young players who have gotten everything that they've asked for, as you mentioned. Like, they're seeing a guy who had everything that they had 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, had all, you know, Olympics, Hart trophies, I believe, everything that Thornton achieved in his career. But there's still something missing because he hasn't won the Stanley Cup. And I think that's something that you can look across the room and just be reminded of every day.
Yeah.
That this guy hasn't – his career is incomplete because he hasn't done what matters most. And he's still working for it, and he doesn't look like me anymore. He looks like a broken-down man that should be probably playing beer league at this point in his career, but he's still around because he wants it so bad. I think that's a good reminder and something that can pay dividends, not just this season, but down the road, because, you know, it's not a bad thing to be Joe Thornton, certainly, but you don't want to be in that position as a young guy where you're playing for 20 years because you want to win a Stanley Cup so bad. Yeah, you want to play because you love the game that much, but you don't want to be in that position. You want to win it for Joe, but you don't want to be Joe in the end because you want your career to be more meaningful from a team success standpoint than Thornton ever had, even though he's had this brilliant career and been to the playoffs so many times and had meaningful runs, but he hasn't won it yet. So I think that's a good reminder and something that was certainly deliberate on the part of the Maple Leafs to show, continue to show these young guys that, you know, not that he's a sad story or a cautionary tale in any sense, but the game means more than the money earned, you know, and all of this stuff that comes with it, the fame and all that. It means a lot more, and it's more meaningful if you win a Stanley Cup, if you win championships, and if you do it together. And I think Thornton provides a meaningful lesson every day just with his presence alone.
Absolutely. And it also gives, like, if you look at the reaction of Spezza last year at the end of the dying minutes of the third period when they got shut out by Columbus and didn't even make the playoffs. He was broken. And I think this reminds me a lot of, obviously, my minor league hockey stories apply so much to the Toronto Maple Leafs. But I remember in my last year of minor hockey, I was playing like double A, and I missed pretty much half, if not maybe 60% of the season with a concussion. And I came back, and I knew this was going to be like my last year. And this was a good team. We thought we had a shot at, you know, winning it all. And I remember one of my teammates, he was a good guy, but he was just dicking around in practice. And essentially I saw that and I just snapped on him. And I was like, listen, I didn't spend, you know, the last 3 months rehabbing from a concussion for you to go around and dick around in practice. Like, we only have so much time left here. Like, we need to win this thing, pay attention and be better. And that's essentially what Spezza and Thornton are there to do just by their presence alone. Like, if, and I think they kind of shipped the two guys out who are most likely to dick around in practice in Kapanen and Johnsson, but specifically Kapanen. But if any of these guys take even a day off, I feel like it's not going to be above Thornton or Spezza to go and be like, hey, I've been in this league for 20 years, 17 years, however long it's been for Spezza. I don't have a cup yet. I did not sign back here for league minimum to watch and in what might be my last year in this league to capture the one thing that would make my, that I've been fighting for my entire life, to watch you take it, you know, 30% in practice. Get it together. And I think that's exactly what this team needed. And now they have two, like Thornton, people are going to respect him. It's going to be, I'm surprised Nick Robertson isn't going to walk in there in training camp and ask for Thornton's autograph. The guy was negative 4 years old during Thornton's rookie season. It was crazy. Like, it's, you have these titans of industry that a lot of these guys who are potentially local guys, even just NHL fans, have grown up looking up to. And now they're your teammates. And you want to mess it up for them? Do you want to be the reason why they couldn't have their Ray Bourque moment? No. I think that just elevates the entire sort of mindset of the roster just by their presence alone, like you said. And I think for that reason alone, even getting these two guys for a combined $1.4 million, both on league min, which sends a message to this team where it's essentially we're playing for the lowest amount possible to make be also because you guys got your money. But we're playing for the lowest amount possible just to do this one thing. Do not mess it up for us. I think that is the biggest motivator you can have, because they're not going to be self-motivated as we've seen before, but letting down a living legend potentially too, that's going to be tough to sleep at night if you do that. So I think that, you know, just that intangible aspect alone is such a key piece. And we ignore the intangibles a lot in hockey, but this really can't be ignored here.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jason Spezza, obviously, for $700,000, he brings you value from a sheer on ice perspective. But I think there's some of that. There's some of the veteran, like we've saw, you know, that picture of him smiling at Matthews. Like, I think him and Matthews have this pretty good bond. And I think they legitimately do want to have success for Jason Spezza. But I don't think him being able to speak up, he'll be as comfortable as, let's say, Joe Thornton.
Oh, Joe Thornton's going to have no technical problem.
I think the two veteran additions they brought in this year are going to have more of a vocal impact in that regard. I think Spezza, that's not really his place as much as I think it would be for those two. So I think that's definitely important. Okay, we mentioned where he might go in the top six, maybe as far as the second line with John Tavares. But the second power play, for sure, is where Joe Thornton's going to see some time, whether it's taking from Jason Spezza or not. But Wayne Simmonds is also going to get some power play time. So I think it's pretty safe that, you know, Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, and John Tavares will be on that top power play with Morgan Riley. And maybe Wayne Simmonds is the net front presence on that unit. Kyle Dubas said today that he's still an elite guy in front of the net. So that leaves us with some options, obviously Thornton being one of them on that second power play unit. You know, they've got Zach Hyman there. They've got Jason Spezza there.
Nylander.
They've got William Nylander, who will be the key of that. I mean, I guess that pretty much, and Mikko Lehtinen, that could be your second line power play right there.
That's pretty good.
But it comes back to Nick Robertson for me. I think he could be such a weapon on that second power play. And is there room for him even on that lineup anymore? I'm not really sure. But does Thornton definitely get second power play minutes on this team?
He's still so effective at that. Like, that's, I think if you brought him in and didn't put him on there, that would be essentially, that would be misusing an asset. Like, he's still such a, like, his, the majority of his production comes on the power play. He's still such an effective play driver in
that
role.
Which is concerning.
Yeah, but all at the same time, like, having a guy like Thornton feed a guy like Nylander, I mean, that's a great connection regardless of the age of those two. Like, it's like Nylander on the second power play unit has never had an elite playmaker. He's never had an elite facilitator. He's had to be the guy who's had to set up all the offense himself. And now you have a guy like Thornton who is even in his advanced age, still one of the best playmakers in the league. He's among, you know, he's in some of the top percentiles in the league at shot assists, which is essentially all the Leafs need right now. So I'm really high on that. Like, I really think that will be a good fit. And if not, it's not a big deal. He's making 700 grand. You can just plug in another one of those guys and see if it works. Like, him taking league men with no performance bonuses just gives him so much flexibility. And they have, like I've said, it comes down to options, and they have so many options. And when you're looking to fill out a second power play unit, even a 41-year-old Joe Thornton, it's still Joe Thornton. I think that's one of the best assets you can have, because their power play was a problem last year. How many times are we in the Yahoo offices at, you know, 1 a.m. just lamenting about how stale and broken the Leafs power play unit looked? Now they have Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Mitch Marner, Morgan Riley on the top pairing, and whoever you want to throw in there as well. And,
but in reality, those players are going to decide if it's stale or not.
Yes,
they're going to get a minute and a half of each power play every time.
But now, yeah, but at one, let's say it doesn't work. Let's say the power play. Let's say you know you're in a power play situation. Those guys aren't able to cash in. Well, most teams when they throw out their second unit, it's a lot of ho hum guys. Now you're throwing out the best defenseman in the KHL, who's over a point per game right now. And yes, we'll see how much that translates. But Chris Johnston on that SDP seemed pretty solidified. That pretty much everyone he's talked to said he's a top four guy. And then you have Joe Thornton, Wayne Simmons, potentially Ilya Mikheyev, William Nylander, and maybe Nick Robertson as your second unit, as that second wave. And it's all about waves. The Leafs, as they're constructed, we're supposed to be a team that comes at you in waves. You're in the opposition, and you just were able to minimize the Matthews line. And oh, great, now we have John Tavares and Mitch Marner coming over the boards. Now we got to figure that out. Oh, now the third line's coming out, and now we have to deal with Joe Thornton, and now we have to deal with Jason Spezza. Now we have to deal with this is as a second unit. I think that really helps, because now you were able to somehow minimize Marner, Matthews, Tavares in that top unit. And you used your best penalty killers to do that. And now that second wave is, potentially a phenom in Nick Robertson, Joe Thornton, and a guy you hate to play against in front of the net in Spezza, and the reigning KHL defenseman of the year, Mikko Lehtonen, and just all these guys. I think that gives the Leafs that sort of overwhelming wave that they really lacked last year.
I think you should maybe write the script for the Leafs 2020-2021 hype video.
I'm just speaking the truth. I like the way the roster.
I don't know if Nick Robertson's phenom status.
Are you kidding me, man? This kid scored 50 goals in 43 games last year. He's and now he's coming off an entire. He's the most dead. Look, come on, man. This is an extremely, extremely exciting prospect. And now he's going to be playing.
He is. I don't know if he's phenom.
And now, yeah, well, okay. That might be a bit of an exaggeration, but he could be. Now he's going to be, this is a guy who has proven he's at least in juniors, he was an elite finisher. I mean, he had a guy in Semyon Gergarychensev whose only job, who's also employed by the Leafs, by the way, whose only job was to feed him with passes. And now he gets up to the NHL, and potentially the next guy who could be doing that is Joe Thornton.
How do you feel about the idea that Joe Thornton might be taking Nick Robertson's roster spot this year?
I don't think that's going to be the case. I think if anyone's taking his roster, Robertson's roster spot, it's going to be, a guy like Engvall, or it's going to be a guy like VC, or even Anderson. It's not going to be Joe Thornton. Joe Thornton's in the lineup regardless. And Nick Robertson's not going to be playing third line center. It's going to be one of the guys.
I don't think Thornton's going to be playing third line. I mean, he might be. He might be playing third line left wing though, with Robertson or with Kerfoot and Simmons. And that might be the spot where Robertson would be fighting for, is that third line left winger position.
I'm cool.
But that's fine.
Also, Thornton might not be playing every night.
It's not a big deal. You're right. I think if it takes Pierre, I think he's an upgrade on Pierre Engvall. And if that's as simple as it is, then that's
for less per almost half.
That's as simple as it needs to be. Where else was I going to get at?
What other negative?
I guess Kyle Dubas is. I think we were talking about, Kyle Dubas is changing this offseason. Kyle Dubas is a different person. He's realized that he needs this and that. I guess my conclusion at the end of this is that he hasn't really changed. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think Kyle Dubas is sort of learning a little bit on why. Also has a clear idea of what he wants to do and what Sheldon Keefe wants to do. And I don't think that's necessarily the worst thing in the world. I think him just we really need physicality, so let's get this one Kyle Clifford to do it. I think that's a misguided view. So in some respects, I do really like the fact that he's sticking to his guns. But again, I don't need to say my criticisms of the Thornton signing really anymore, or what they've done anymore, because it's just the simple fact that I'm just trying to say that Kyle Dubas hasn't changed, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I think that he changed enough to fulfill what the Leafs needed. If he did a complete 180 and just decided to
scary.
Yeah,
that'd be scary.
And it almost looked like he was about to
Exactly. Him learning on the fly is kind of a scary proposition. He's in charge of the most important Leaf seasons ever.
Pretty much,
right?
Ever.
In this generation, certainly.
After the moon,
he's in charge of the most important seasons. And if he's just I really got to do this to make sure I do, that's not going to work. So him being married to his philosophy, I think, is good. And I don't think Bogosian's really a departure from it at all, because he doubled down on him, on Cody Ceci, his value and all that. And he just thinks, okay, Bogosian adds a little bit more. And I think all he adds that's more is that he's physical. He's probably in that same vein in which he can play against top competition, but not dominate top competition, but just be physical while he's doing it and be cheaper. And I think that's really the difference between the two. And Kyle Dubas still values that.
Yeah, but he was able to do that without sacrificing large chunks of money that could be spent on the roster. Exactly. Otherwise.
Like Cody Ceci, and Bogosian's a better player.
Bogosian's a better player.
Like, he's protecting CC to an extent, but, like, you know, it's not like he wants six Travis Dermotts out there. He sees the value of different, you know, dimensions.
And also Travis Dermott, like, this is, I think we're going to see a different Travis Dermott coming out too, because I think we have to, even if we shift to the back end now, like, you look at what competition can do to a player. Travis Dermott was, even with an injury, he was pretty much guaranteed to log, you know, to be in the top six last year. Like, he was pretty much put in there with Penn once he got back from injury. And now he might be the eighth defenseman on the depth chart right now.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, this is a guy who's going to be fighting for his life. And same with a guy like Hall, who even just signed an extension, who then kind of fell off right after he signed that extension. I think there are a lot of guys who got paid last year and then immediately stopped producing, who now are going to be fighting for their professional lives, because there are guys who are making less than them who potentially either perform it at the exact same clip as them or outperform them. Like Pierre Engvall, if he's not living in the gym right now, you know, then he should kind of just pack it up, because if you look at the guys who are breathing down his neck, they're all making legitimately half of what he is. Like, he's making 1.25 million. They're making 100 around that, or a bit more, 900 like Cody's or Jimmy Vesey. But this is like in the back end specifically, you have Mikko Lehtinen, who's not coming over here to be a Marley. He is the best defenseman in the KHL, and he decided to come over here. He's going to be fighting for a top four spot, let alone a top six spot. A guy like Barabanov, who could make way more money in the KHL, he's not coming over here to be a Marley. He's coming over here to play. This is going to be a dogfight at the bottom of the Leafs roster. I think that works perfectly for a lot of guys who maybe got rewarded a bit too early than they deserved and then kind of fell back on their laurels a bit. This is, like, when we talk about the actual mental makeup of this team, these signings have really impacted that. They've really shaken up and they've thrown a wrench into a lot of these guys' sort of plans and stability that I think is really important. I really do think that, look, is this a perfect offseason? No, we talked about this last time where, yeah, I think that getting Pietrangelo would be a perfect offseason, because that's always, you know, number one. But instead of getting Pietrangelo, they were able to get Bodie, Simmons, Thornton, and then a bunch of really potentially really effective guys who at least give them options and stretch out their lineup in the bottom six. I think that when you look at that in a comparative sense, that's about as good of a plan B as you can get to missing out on the biggest top fish. And they also still have cap flexibility now. They aren't forced to trade anyone, and they can also take advantage of, you know, the rush to waivers at the end of training camp for a lot of these teams and potentially get some value for these guys. I think because we don't even know when the next season is going to be. Hopefully it's going to be January 1st, like they say, but they just have flexibility now, and they didn't really have that last year. And they only had that at the trade deadline because everyone was injured. But now, even if everyone's healthy, they have the ability to make moves, to plug and play, and to actually slot and adjust the roster depending on what works. And I think that's exactly what a coach like Sheldon Keefe, who loves to experiment, needs. I think that's exactly what a GM like Kyle Dubas, who likes to address needs right away, kind of needs. This as the team is set right now, is better than they were last year. They're tougher to play against. I think they're more battle-hardened. I think they're mentally tougher as well. They kind of cut all the fat. And so now here we are with a group, with a top-heavy group of really important guys who are hopefully going to be better. Then you have a bottom six of guys who are fighting essentially every single day to stay on the Toronto Maple Leafs because they want to be there. I think that's very important.
Yeah, I actually think you might have nailed something that is impacting my thinking, is that I really like what they've done on defense because they've created this competition. The fact that Travis Dermott isn't even, you know, he might not even be on the active roster unless he's playing well, is, I think, a really good thing for Travis Dermott. I think he needs that kick in the ass. And I think Mikko Lehtinen obviously provides that. Zach Bogosian is just going to be very, you know, very, very steady with what he brings, whether it's the sixth or seventh defenseman. I think a lot of what I like about the defense is that they've created this really hyper-competitive environment. And I think on the flip side of that, what I might be worried, you say there's competition, they got to play well to stay in there. I do think there is a lot of assurances that have been given out on these really cheap deals, right? Jimmy VC, come here for $900,000, you're going to play. Joe Thornton, you're obviously playing. Jason Spezza, you're playing. Alexander Barabanov, we're going to Praia to the KHL, you're playing. Like, there's a lot of guys that are just playing and they haven't proven anything, really. So I think that's what might be affecting my negativity towards the bottom six, and maybe how I'm feeling a lot better now about the defense than I was certainly last season, where it was terrible. But even just with the Brody signing and with the possibility of Pietrangelo being out there, I just think they've created a nice little environment on the back end, and that's why I'm worried about the forwards.
Yeah, you bring up a good point about the assurances. I think that's a little, you know, that's a bit, makes you feel a bit uneasy, you know, realizing that there are a lot of guys who are making near league minimum deals who have been told, you know, probably by this GM that you're going to be playing. And I, as much as hockey is a business and they could just essentially say, yeah, well, you know, you didn't earn it. So yeah, you're going to be playing, but you didn't earn it. That develops your reputation. And we're kind of seeing that with Vegas now, even where, you know, come here, it's going to be great. We're the Island Misfit Toys. And then only, you know, for you to get traded the next year for an upgrade for, you know, the new sexier model. But I also, that just makes the competition tighter for the even more fringe guys. There is a little bit of worry that these assurances might come back to bite them. But I think when you really look at it, there's no assurances in hockey. Like, everyone keeps saying, yeah, Kyle Dubas told William Nylander he's not going to get traded as long as he's GM. But William Nylander could get traded tomorrow, and I don't think anyone would balk at that assurance. You know, if Joe Thornton comes out and he doesn't play well, I think there's going to be an understanding between the GM and the player that, look, man, you just don't have it anymore, so you're not going to play. Like, it's like, as much as it's, you're going to get a chance out of training camp, but people are going to prove their worth. And also, we have to remember, there's going to be injuries. There's a long layoff here, and people are going to get banged up. And when the Leafs got banged up last year, they had to turn to Martin Marincin, and look how that turned out. Now they can turn to different players. Now they can turn to a lot of guys of similar value who can impact the game in at least a positive way. I think that's an upgrade over anything.
And that's why they're not worried about being up against the cap, because they know there's going to be injuries. There's going to be some problems that come up. And that's why they know, as long as they have these pieces, they can sort of mix it up as they need to, react to what happens and just be cap compliant every day. I think that's just basically what they're doing. And I think the fact that they're not using long-term injury reserve actually opens up the flexibility a little bit more, because they don't have to be married to that number that you go into the season with. They can just, you know, the slate is clean and they can move the pieces around as they wish. And they're going to definitely have to do that. It's going to be a balance every day, but they know how to, they've expertly sort of navigated this, and they'll continue to do that. I think one more thing that's worth mentioning, because we haven't talked about the Arendelle signing, I believe it was after.
And that's
now they have a third goaltender who's better than their backup goaltender last year. That they went into.
By miles.
I mean, we talked about, Joe Thornton believes in Freddie Anderson, but giving him the best chance to succeed, you now have a capable backup, and you now have a capable backup to the backup. So this is the best the Maple Leafs goaltending has looked in a very long time. It's still the same guy who's going to be at the very front of that, who has had problems, especially last year. But the goaltending is in the best position now. The defense is in the best position now. And while there's a lot of uncertainty, at least for me, at the bottom of the lineup, they still have all the main figures in place at the front of the lineup.
And
that's, you know, they put themselves in a very good position. I mean, it's not, you know, a different team. It's not the team that our uncles maybe were clamoring for. It's not this complete change of course or course correction for Kyle Dubas. It's just another really solid lineup that hasn't proven itself just yet, but is still built on the same foundation and has improved a lot of weaknesses. So you've got to be encouraged about what they did, even though they might have not done what you expected them to do.
Yeah, they have two upper echelon backups now. Like, I would say Jack Campbell is one of the, you know what, four or five best backups in the league, and Arendelle's up there too. And in a normal world, Arendelle would be another team's clear-cut number two. He had a 907 last year on a putrid Sharks team. But now he's coming as the third goalie potentially to play in the AHL. I think there's going to be competition in net in training camp as well. Like, this is as much as, you know, like, Campbell makes above the variable, and obviously Frederik Andersen is Frederik Andersen, but Andersen's been pretty much solidified as, you know, I'm the starter every single season since he's been in Toronto. And then he had a putrid season last year, and now there's no assurances. He might have been traded this offseason, and now it's going to be, all right, you have two guys who are, you know, who are not Michael Hutchinson. These are guys who could potentially, you know, play, who could take a lot of your starts, eat into a lot of your job, right, nipping at your heels. You better come ready to play. You better come as the best Frederik Andersen you've ever been. There's no Fred Tober allowance here. You got to hit the ground running. And I think, you know, there's just competition in every single aspect of the Leafs roster right now, where it just wasn't like that before. There's no comfortability now. There's no resting on your laurels. There's no sitting back with your hands up and going, all right, well, I'm a Toronto Maple Leaf, man. I got this line, you know, I got this role set in here. Like, it's, if you have a bad stretch of games, you will be replaced on this roster. And when you get replaced, like, it's the thing with a quarterback where they say, you know, you never want to see your backup hit the field, because who knows, he might never give it back. And that's the case with the bottom. That's the case with the bottom lineup. That's the case with the backup goaltending. And that's the case with even the bottom of the Leafs blue line as well. You never want to see the guy behind you, you know, hit the field or take your spot, because he might never, ever give it back. This is a Leafs team that is geared to win now. The signing of Thornton kind of proves that, and his words even establish that even more. And now, if you want to be part of this winner, if you want to contribute on this winner, you better be at the absolute best you can, or else we have someone else nipping your heels to replace you. I think mentally, that is a great place for this Leafs roster to be.
Yeah, I think so. Like, just being able to reflect on what happened this offseason, obviously Kyle Dubas has acknowledged that they can't go into a season with thin goaltending. They can't go into the season with a thin blue line.
Yeah.
But they still believe in what they are doing in terms of their heavy puck possession, waves of talent, waves of offense coming at you style. And they double down on that, obviously, with the signings of Joe Thornton, keeping Jason Spezza around, and doing what they've done with the bottom six, obviously moving out guys like Kapanen and Janssen. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens with this team when they first line up at training camp, and how these pairings and these lines are there might not be a more anticipated training camp for the Leafs, not just because we're waiting on this season, but because we don't know how it's going to look at all. We have no idea how this team is planning on building their roster for day one of the 2020-2021 season. And we don't know when that's going to happen either, but I can't wait to see what they're thinking. I wish I could be in the boardroom and just seeing what they have on the wall, I think it would be fascinating.
That would be that, to be a fly on the wall in any Leafs decision making meeting right now, is that would be you know, just supreme content for sure.
So Joe Thornton, $700,000. It's incredibly interesting, could be very entertaining, could be very, very good. I worry that it might be a little bit a touch depressing at some point if he can't play. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with Joe Thornton. Either way, it's going to create content. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll see how it works out. We'll probably have more content coming at you, but the Leafs seem that they are done for the offseason. So maybe we'll have time for a little bit more reflection. Maybe we'll mock up what they might look at for the 2020-21 season. But we'll leave the jumbo conversation there. The ever-optimistic Mike Stevens, you can sign us up.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.